Welcome to Radio Gorgeous's Gorgeous Gossip with Josephine and Donna. Today, Josephine has finally returned from an extended, note the hint of jealousy, an extended tour of the eastern seaboard of the United States. Welcome back, Josephine.
I went on a cruise.
I know.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And I really love the security of the ship. You know, I can't tell you how nice it was. Just, you know, you go out in the real world and then you always come back to like a glass of champagne when you get back on board, or a fruit drink. Obviously, I went for champagne. And then you just go back to your suite and you had a butler. You had, you know, so if you ever wanted anything, I'd just sort of ring for it. And he was lovely. He was called Wutu from Bali. And he'd come to my room and, oh my God, I can't tell you, three, you know, meals a day, breakfast, cooked breakfast if you want.
All right. Well, but my image of a cruise, if it's not one of those big princess lines, but my father did relatively recently come on the Princess Mary, but that's huge. I mean, just, or Queen Mary, they're huge.
They are huge.
But what were you on?
Mine was the world's leading small ship cruise line, Noble Caledonian, and they specialise in small ship cruising. So it was 120 passengers and 120 staff.
Wow.
On board, yeah.
One per.
Exactly. So it works really well in the way that you are not, you can dock in places where normally you can't dock. And often you can dock in places where you just so can't dock that we just docked in the sea. Then we took Zodiac little boats to the port. So do you know what I mean? So we could go places nobody normally can go. So we saw some of those big cruise lines and we looked like a little tugboat next to it.
So is this the ship version of flying private?
Yes, darling. Even though I've never flown in a private jet. And that's obviously going to be my next experience.
So you're convinced,
aren't you? Yeah, I am. I really. And the nice thing is all decisions are taken away from you. So every day, ding dong, it like goes off. And good morning and welcome. And today you are going to go to, you know, Philadelphia. You're going to go and they tell you what to wear. They tell you what time to disembark. They've done all the paperwork. You just walk out and there's a coach and you get on board and you never have to think all day. And you learn lots of information passively. It's really nice. I can't tell you.
So where did the cruise go?
Well, we started off in Boston, which I didn't really know anything about apart from the Boston Tea Party, and it's all red brick. It really is old, you know. In fact, that was what's the miracle of this cruise. I didn't hardly see any McDonald's. I didn't see any modern buildings because we just went to all the kind of the old places of the East Coast, which are originally obviously where the British arrived. And obviously it was funny because we were the baddies being the British, you know. And, you know, if I asked for a cup of tea, it was like, ooh, you know, because I think that's why coffee came to symbolise, obviously, you know, the drink of a revolution. But, so it's called New England, as you obviously know, and there's a reason.
I was going to say, my mother's whole family is from Boston. We were there this summer as well.
Wow, fantastic. So we stayed in Cambridge because we started off staying with some friends, and Cambridge is joined on to Boston with the river in between, and that's where Harvard is. So have you seen the film Love Story?
Yes,
so it's exactly like Get Out Love Story and you've been to Harvard. It's these red brick buildings. But the amazing thing is you can walk around it. That's one of the things.
Harvard Square is open.
I was amazed because, I mean, I'm so security conscious now in London, you know, after kind of bombings and things, that it didn't feel, and everywhere we went felt quite free, easy come, easy go. Loved Boston, loved the culture, but then on the third day we went to go meet, and I was quite nervous to go meet all the other passengers.
Yeah, because how long is the cruise? So how long
This was 13 nights, actually.
Okay, so 2 weeks, basically,
with
118 of your closest friends.
Who I don't know. So obviously I was quite nervous. But the first thing we did was we went for a tour around Boston and they took us to a beautiful church. I don't know whether you've been to this white wooden church, which is just up on a hill. And then we went to an ancient graveyard. And then we went for lunch at, they claim, This is one of the things about America. They claim it's the oldest restaurant in America, which is called the Oyster House. First thing we did was we went off piste and we ordered some oysters. Very lovely, but sadly they're from Canada. But then we went upstairs and had our white fish and Indian pudding. I remember that. And no, it was great. And we met the people on board. Okay, they were older than us. They were 20 years older than us. But everybody was very civilized, very friendly. And I think they've realized I'm on this cruise, so I'm going to be friendly and civilized, you know. And they keep themselves from self a bit. We weren't, you know, hampered by people saying, oh, we've got to have dinner with you. The only annoying thing is you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, I don't really want to socialize. Someone comes up to you and says, can I join you? And you cannot say no. So some nights we just said, can we have a table for two? You know, trying to find a table just to kind of a bit of privacy, you know, away from people. So Boston was amazing. Then we went up to Newport on coaches and we set off from Newport. So we didn't see much of it. And then we sailed away and I found my suite and I was so happy.
And because the size of the ship isn't huge, but it's not tiny either. So what's the sort of, you know, did you get seasick? Did you?
I very luckily I didn't get seasick, but
did
quite a few
else?
People did. Yeah, because okay. We did hit a storm on the last day and I didn't sleep well that night. Nobody did because it's the boats going from side to side.
Were you scared?
Yeah, a little bit, actually. It did cross my mind. Imagine if there's a hole or something. But when we arrived, because it's America, they're very strict. We had to do a drill. So I know exactly where my orange...
where your life jacket
is. Yeah, and we had to go... Because they're quite strict, much stricter in America about rules and regs. The land of a freeze full of rules and regs, which is a dichotomy, which I couldn't get over. Just to say, in Boston, we did go to the Elizabeth Stuart Gardner Museum. I don't know whether you've been
there.
I think it's one of the most interesting places I went to. Really amazing. A woman who never had a child. So they said, this was in the turn of the century, last century, they said, go travel. She went travelling, started collecting art. And so it became her baby and her passion. That was really good. Anyway, but the next day we went to a place called Newport. Again, Donna, you've been to all these places.
I've been to Newport, yes.
Being American, but I'd never been. And it is the land of the Great Gatsby. I mean, you walk on and you are on the Great Gatsby set, you know, and it felt like that. And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, so the Vanderbilts and the Breakers.
Yeah.
And it's stunning.
Yeah, and so we went to two Vanderbilt mansions. One was so covered in marble, it kind of hurt my eyes, honestly. It was just unbelievable. I mean, it was too over the top, you know, but enjoyable in the way that, oh my God, where was Mutler's Brass? I mean, it really was. And the most interesting was at the end of the talk, there was a little kind of gallery and it showed a kind of soft focus picture of a girl, a 1920s Vanderbilt with a headband on. And I thought that's exactly where they got all the image for the Great Gatsby film, because she had the curls. Exactly the same, you know what I mean? It's like I suddenly realised the art director had seen that picture and thought that's the look of the film. So I felt kind of quite rewarded by that. And I really enjoyed it going around the grounds. And then we went back into town and we went for lunch kind of on the bay. We could see our ship in the distance. And they had Zodiacs coming to and from, so we could sort of, you know. And I had a lovely thing called a donut. Have you ever had one of those there?
No.
Well, we heard about them. They're deep fried donuts, but with prawns in or oysters in. Yeah.
Wow. Sort of savory.
A savory donut.
Wow.
Yeah. That was
wow.
the best thing
That's
I
an
either.
Indulgence.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good.
Three meals a day, champagne all around. Ooh, my.
Exactly.
I'm impressed you're looking as thin
well,
and glamorous as
you are. Well, there was, after a week of, you know, overeating, we suddenly realized there is a gym on board. So we literally...
When you backed away from the buffet.
Yeah, yeah.
You were all of a
People
sudden
told us off because it was on the way to the restaurant. We said, we saw you in there. You know, you're making us feel guilty, you know, with James and I pounding away. No, it was good. Now, the next day was literally one of my favourite places, Martha's Vineyard. And you probably all
I was
heard,
on Martha's this summer as well.
Oh, my God, I love that place.
Yeah,
do you love it?
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
what I found interesting about it's all these places were really unbuilt up compared to England. You know, England, you realise, even the South Coast has got a lot of buildings, high-rises. These places have really got quite an innocent feel. It's because there's so much space in America, you know, that they haven't become built up. Martha's Vineyard, yeah, we came in. I can't remember the name of the port, but it's where the gingerbread houses are. Have you been to see the gingerbread yes. houses? Mm-hmm. Gingerbread houses are exactly like Hansel and Gretel in that they're bright colours. So there's a purple and pink, there's a green and yellow, and they are these oldie-worldy houses. And I just fell in love with them. And they were camp, they were kitsch, and I adored them. Then we went over to Edgartown, which is literally one of my favourite places I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, it's been, we were there this summer as well. And yeah, it's so pretty.
It's so pretty. So it's pretty. All white wooden buildings. And I think they've obviously got some sort of law that nothing can be built there, you know, because everything's old. You don't see one modern thing. But I didn't see one modern thing anywhere on the whole island. One of my favourite images, we're going by kind of these very kind of little school buses kind of type thing. And I went past store. And you know how you always see in American films, these kind of stores, and they don't look like shops to us because they haven't got windows. They're kind of boxes and they are kind of like warehouses. And I saw four people in dungarees sitting outside. And I thought, oh, my God, that's so American.
They call them overalls.
Yeah, they nearly had a bit of straw out of the mouth. You know, I was thinking that I've really seen, you know, what America is to me. And also I found the most interesting thing is about near where Jackie Onassis had her house is where there are some Native Indians still left there. Because obviously Native Indians were obviously a massive fascination for me and obviously a very sad history. But the great thing is on board we had anthropologists telling us constantly lectures about, you know, the history, and they told the story of the Native Indians, which obviously is very tragic. But the great thing about there is that there are 350 left. And I was looking around, and even the girl that served me, because I went for a lobster roll.
Mm-hmm. You can't not have a lobster roll.
Now, lobster rolls are different places. And this was like an open one and you get so much lobster. I mean, in England, it was lobster. It'd be a tiny little bit, and they'd be really mean with it. But there it was mega. And I realized the girl that served me was native. You can just tell they've got a different look. So I was really thrilled about that, seeing a native Indian and Indian eating lobster roll and having a really good craft beers. They've got really good on beers now in the States. You know, I always thought it was quite watery when I was last there, but now they're into the craft stuff. And I had some I'd love one now.
It's funny you say you had Native American races. I mean, we had a lot of Eastern Europeans. It was just like here, you know, because we were on Cape Cod and took ferry over to Martha's.
They probably brought them in for summer.
Nope, they're there.
They're just there. They get everywhere because they're such good workers. Yeah, they are the best at working. Really, really good. Now, the next day, so all on board, you know, dinner. I think I sat at the captain's table that night, you know, which sounds formal. Okay, I did wear a kind of nice green dress and heels, but you could have worn trousers all the way through the holiday. And if you're a man, you could wear an open neck shirt and you don't have to wear a tie. You know, it is very casual on board, which makes people feel a lot more confident about going, even though I love dressing up. So the next day, literally, they said, right, ding dong, get out of bed now. We are sailing into New York City.
Fantastic.
And, you know, it was quite green. I thought, this can't be it. But it, obviously, Long Island, it's a kind of outskirts. And then suddenly you start getting buildings. And then you can see, you know, the city. The amazing thing was the highest building there, I think it's a New Trade Center, had clouds around it. And then it had amazing kind of grey light and then sunlight. And when we went past the Statue of Liberty, it was lit up in a kind of golden light. And it really was. I mean, I got goose pimples, adrenaline, all the kind of right feelings. Mm. All the staff were out as well. It was so sweet. Everybody came out and was taking photographs and they were serving champagne and rolls. And so that was great. And then we docked at a place called Pier 90, which is on West 50th Street, which is just near Times Square. So it was so weird getting off a boat and being on Manhattan.
Yeah, like not having to go through customs and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And especially because the airport's so far from New York. Yeah. So you come in and you're immediately there.
But it was such a shock. I mean, I literally had adrenaline rushes, which kind of tired me out a bit. But it was literally the shock of it, you know, just seeing all these people, all these buildings. I've been in Martha's Vineyard a few hours earlier, which is the quietest sort of place I'd ever been, you know. And so we literally had a whistle stop day, you know, of sort of shopping at Bloomingdale's. We spent the morning at the Met, seeing the Rodin exhibition. We walked through Central Park. We went for, we had lunch at this place that just did sort of macrobiotic salads, you know, so American, no one eats carbs. then we got the subway. Is that tube? Do you call it subway tube? Mm-hmm. We got it down, obviously, to Wall Street because my husband had to go to Century 21, which you told me about, which is a discount department store. Everything is like 60% off. And he spent $350 on socks and shoes and ties and everything. Brilliant. And in Bloomingdale's, I got gorgeous pajamas, a bra, and which came to the same amount, actually.
Sounds like each day was like a different film.
Oh,
like
my God.
You started with Love Story, Great Gatsby.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you were like The Runaway Bride.
Yeah.
And
it was.
At Autumn in New York.
And then that evening, we went out to, again, you advise us to go to an amazing restaurant. In fact, I think there are three of them. One's in Las Vegas and two are in the States. We went to the Midtown one called The Strip House. And it specializes in steaks. And I am not a steak person. But I thought, look, Donna's told me to eat it.
I would say that's a New York thing. It's like, you know, the steakhouse.
Okay.
It's a sort of old glamour was always the steakhouse, you know, and you always had a steak.
You think of it as kind of Mad Men. I had a Mad Men moment.
Yes, and it's very, very Mad Men.
And there's lots of pictures, fabulous pictures of 1950s and 60s strippers in it, and it's done really tastefully. Even the wallpaper, we noticed, had kind of like figures of women in different poses, you know, and the napkins. I nearly nicked a napkin, but I thought, no, bad karma. So that was brilliant. And then we walked, because it was on the same street, to go and see 1984, the theatre. I mean, I can't believe the day we had.
Wow, you packed it in,
we
girl.
Did. I mean, we were knackered by the time at the theatre. But God, they treated you so differently than London theatre.
Yeah, they actually gave you a program.
Yeah,
they didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, they
or
gave
anything.
Us a program, and there was a private bar where we were given free drinks. And James said, well, the tickets were more expensive, but it was like more of an occasion. Definitely. But in London, you slightly herded in and herded out. We really enjoyed being treated well, as we're used to it, actually, after being on the cruise. And then we were the last ones. When we got back on the ship, it was 20 past 10, and we had to get on by 10:30. And I said to the guy standing there, I said, who's the last one? And he said, you two. So it was great. We were
last. The dirty stop outs.
Yeah. We were first ones off and last ones back on. And I was so exhausted that I had to go to sleep. But my husband had a cigar on the deck, and he said, watching the lights as he left was the best moment, which I missed. Because I was so shattered from thinking I've got to get everything in. So next time we go, we're going to take it a bit more easy. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so the next day was at sea. And at sea, the next day, we do lots of lectures.
Oh, okay, great. So you sort of catch up.
You catch up, you can sleep, you can eat more, you can rest. And also there's free movies on demand, which is really
nice.
Like.
On the boat?
Yeah.
Oh, how fast.
So you lie in your bed and you just watch movies. And I watched The Founder, The Story of the McDonald's. That's really good. I just watched loads of things. I watched As Good As You Get. You know, I just saw lots of, and we just watched Casablanca again, you know. No, it was absolutely brilliant. And the great thing is, if you fell asleep, it would just put on pause and the next day you'd watch. So sometimes it took 3 days to watch a film because we're always asleep.
Napping out.
So the next day we arrived, and it took a long time to get there because we'd already had a whole day in sea in Baltimore.
Okay.
Which is up a massive kind of river, isn't it? And that was obviously a very, very important port because it was safe, you know, so that's probably why the English that arrived went up there.
It's the bay, yeah. Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, it's got an Indian name. So we went up there and then we got off immediately and got on coaches and went to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. which only took an hour, actually.
Yeah, they're very close, Baltimore and D.C., yeah.
And Washington, D.C., all iconic again, you know, Capitol Hill, absolutely,
What was the movie of the day?
Yeah, exactly.
All the President's
Men. All President's Men or...
And, West Wing.
I was in every film, you're absolutely right. And fantastic city, really modernised since I've been there 40 years ago. Went to this cemetery as well, which was a bit sad. But the Kennedys...
Arlington Cemetery?
Yeah, that's it. You've heard of it. And McKenna, I slept on there. I slept on the little thing going round. I was so exhausted from New York. But the most interesting thing about there was they say that is the beginning of the South. And I really found the personalities changed. And the most amazing thing is they changed for the better. I adored the Southerners. They just are not serious about anything. Now, that really annoyed quite a lot of men on board, including my husband. But, you know, we're going around the White House and men are going, oh, now have a look at this bust of JFK. He was just so important in our history. He would just giggle. Everything he said was a giggle at the end. I just loved it. It was the campest thing I've ever, ever, ever seen. He just was not straight in any way, you know. And I just thought, well, he's obviously gay, but also it's like, and that all the, from then on, most of the people we met were literally, it was all giggling, apart from later on when we met the most serious man in Charleston. But I think they take their history seriously there.
Very seriously in Charleston.
Then the next day, so we had to keep going. I'd been to the capital of the United States of America. The next day I went to the capital of Virginia when it was owned by us because we owned a place called Virginia and it's called Williamsburg. Mm-hmm. And it was done up in the 1920s. It was a town that was quite a ruin, but it's all original, really old Georgian buildings because this is the first place that the English arrived at. And it's now kind of a very, very tasteful kind of Disneyland.
Yes, I went to a wedding there.
Oh, exactly. Wedding there.
Yeah.
How yeah, it was amazing. Beautiful. And the best thing is, if you live there, you have to wear costume. Rents are cheap, but you've got to wear costume all the time. And also, if you watch telly, apparently you've got to put the blinds down because they're not allowed to look like them. But it was so authentic. There were cobblers there. There were different shops selling linens. You could buy gowns, which I was quite tempted by, but they were quite expensive. You could buy handmade soaps. We went to a print and saw how they made the press, where the word the press comes from, print. And we went to obviously the first governor of Virginia's building. It was really, really interesting.
Going back to colonial times.
Exactly. And obviously I liked it because it was like, yes, we were important here. Yeah. You know, at last there's somewhere where the British were important. Then the next day we went to somewhere, and I'm sorry, I can't remember, it began with Bo, and we just had to stop somewhere.
Beaufort,
yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a sweet little place. Again, just it was a lovely, you know, gorgeous wooden buildings. You know, again, the man, he said, I'm usually in pirate costume, but today, because, you know, I'm not, you know, the usual kind of giggly person. And then the next day we went to Charleston. Now, I'm sure you've heard of Charleston because of Gone with the Wind. And it was Charlestown. And it was what happened was that, so we own Virginia, and there's this kind of massive bit of swampland below it, which was the Carolinas, and we didn't know what to do with it. So in England, they said, well, let's give it to 5 different dukes or lords. So they divided it. So it was like a private place for people.
And yet one of the ways that they populated it, and one of the reasons why Charleston was so populated, in order to attract people there to then...
swampy, mosquito-ridden.
Well, and also, you know, for them to then make the land into something useful, you know, agricultural, etc., was to have religious freedom. So you had Jews, you had people from all over. You had people, you know...
Yes, that's why. It's called the Holy City, isn't it?
And you had people from every religion and got along. It was an outstanding place.
Quite liberal.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and still, and they would... I think there was a... I think the Protestant organization was... every year they switched whether an Englishman or an Irishman was in charge and to really like very consciously keeping peace amongst them. So it was a shining example. So, and many of the signers of the American Declaration of Independence were from there. But unfortunately,
but then the downside.
American history has, you know, as history is written by the
Northerners.
By the winners, you know, and in the Civil War, that was the winners. So a lot of Southern history, which is why resentment still brews to some extent, is because they've been sort of written out of things that actually, you know, they did.
The positive things, yeah. I mean, I was so shocked at the North-South divide. I didn't know it existed so strongly. Because I said to, when we went to Charleston, so the man who took us around was head of a historical association, and he wore a straw hat. He wore a pair of white linen trousers. He wore brogues. I thought, God, it's like meeting my husband. He was so English and he was serious, you know. And I said a question about the Civil War. He said, my dear, it was not a civil war for us. And we are still getting over it, you know, and we will never get over it. And there's a lot of anger, you know. Yeah. And
the War of Northern Aggression, it is also sometimes called.
And also one of the things that they, yes, one of the things they, the Northerners always say that it was about slavery, but apparently it wasn't. It was actually about taxes. And we, as we know, economics in the end are always about war. It's not about people, you know.
Well, but you can't say slavery wasn't a part of it.
It was a massive part because it was actually the thing that gave... It's what won the war.
Free labor. Well, yeah. free labor is why they were economically successful.
Yeah. And why they've never, ever... They say they've been poor ever since. They say they've only started making money in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Yes. The South... Mm. Well, I mean, the South was decimated. I mean, it was burnt. I mean, that's... Yeah, I mean, okay, talk about Gone with the Wind. The fire at the end... was because they set fire to everything. They set light to everything. That was, and then the Northern, what they call the carpetbaggers, came in because they would have these bags that were actually a piece of carpet that was tacked together. Well, no, they came in and they sort of opportunistic, and also, you know, that really started problems. With poor whites and blacks, because blacks were given 40 acres and a mule, okay, to restart your life. And that was resented, you know, that was resented because the poor white people were not given that. But, you know, dudes, it was slavery, you know.
But then
nothing is never, uncomplicated.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but I found it so interesting because suddenly in Charleston, history was like just hit you in the face, you know.
And it's very present there.
And the dance of Charleston comes from there, which is really cool. But also the mansions there. Oh, my God. The most beautiful, stunning, especially on the seafront. And I'm just urging everybody to go there. And then the next day we went to Savannah, which is even more extraordinary because it is a working port, and it's more gritty, and it's got even bigger houses there, and it's got a decaying grandeur feel, which is really romantic.
Yes, it is very antebellum grandeur. And that film, you would have been in Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, obviously. I was going to say, Savannah is stunning. And as you say, it is a working port. So there's some very, on the river, it's extremely industrial. But then they have beautiful Tybee Island, you know, on the coast. And that's also where the Bonaventure Cemetery is, which is featured in The Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. But yeah, I mean, Savannah is just stunning.
Yeah, no, the only thing I wasn't too keen on was one of the meals I had. I said, we've got to go out to a restaurant and have one of the traditional meals, which was prawns in this kind of gravy with meat and grits.
Shrimp and grits?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Depends where you had it. Yes. Because I had shrimp and grits and I was like, I don't think I'm going to like that. Mm. And I fell in love. But it also had a bit of blue cheese in it. So I was anything with blue cheese makes me happy.
I found grits very sweet. It was like semolina. It's sort of
sweet.
Creamy, sweet, sickly. And just the gravy. I don't know. It just...
Should have stuck to the crab cakes, darling.
Yeah. But so I really... It was the most extraordinary 2 weeks because I literally... As you say, a different film every day, but also just learning. I learned about the people, the history. There are a few things that did upset me about the States. The things I found upsetting was too much traffic car culture. I could not get over everywhere I went, apart from these kind of tiny little towns, which was exquisite. But if we had to go in coaches, but traffic jams and five lanes of cars everywhere. I mean, the car culture there is much worse than here. Also, aircon is too cold everywhere. I literally had to take layers and layers with me and scarves, and I was freezing and then hot and then freezing and hot, and I just don't think that's good for you. And sometimes...
Nor the environment.
Yeah. Sometimes I got upset about the Native Indians and the slavery, you know. But I just must tell you one thing. Had a lovely day out with the very, very poised... guide who was very, you know, measured and much more English and wasn't giggling at the end and nothing superficial about him. But he said, I'd just like to let you know that it was all the slavery happened because of the British.
Yes, exactly.
And I'll leave you at this point. And I think this is the end of this gorgeous gossip. Thank you so much, Donna, for inviting me, Josephine Pembroke, on to talk to you today.
Thank you, Josephine, for sharing.